Welcome to episode 153 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I am Stephen Mill, and let's welcome back Raith Rovers goal legend. It is Gordon Dalziel. How are you doing? You're
right? I am doing absolutely brilliant, thank you.
You know what? See, just before we came on air there, obviously, producer John's here as well. You all right, John? You okay?
You're not bad, thanks.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. And we were just about to get going, and then John was like, oh no, I've no brought your boards in. So I had to bring the boards in for the quiz, but he also brought in these wipes, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're watching on YouTube, these are the wipes that we've got. They remind me of you. And do you know why?
A wipe?
Yes.
No.
Not in terms of... those specific wipes remind me of you.
Be careful here.
No, no, it's nothing to do with that. I remember during COVID... And there were some, I'm sure everyone who's listening in their workplace or whatever had some stringent, like, sort of protocols that they needed to follow during COVID, standing 2 metres apart. We all got given our own headphones, our own mic muffs and all the rest of it. And we had to clean the studio after we were finished each time. And I remember vividly you using one of those wipes to wipe your face. And then your face began to melt. Like, your skin began, like, peeling off. Because you just thought they were... you thought they were baby wipes or something like that. But unfortunately, they're disinfectant wipes.
Yes.
So,
well, I found that out.
Well, exactly. And, your face was nice and clean anyway.
Well, so I didn't have acne for 3 months.
Well, exactly. That's exactly the thing. So there you are. How's your weekend? Is it all right?
Yeah, it was quiet. And here on Saturday for the football. Not a lot happened because of the fixture list, but... Yep.
Big game in the Championship on Saturday though, St Johnstone Dunfermline.
It was end to end, yeah. You were obviously there, weren't you?
I was there, yeah. We'll get to that a wee bit later on. But no, I enjoyed my Saturday.
Producer John, usual, never to be seen this Saturday.
I know.
A Falkirk game.
I know, exactly. He works part time, I believe, John. Were you doing your hospitality? Prawn sandwiches and all the rest of it?
Hosting the 1876 lounge at the Falkirk Stadium. Kevin Christie was in. On, remember Kevin Christie, no? Motherwell, Aberdeen.
I remember Tony.
No, relation. No relation, but Kevin Christie was in, so I know it was good.
What year did he play, John?
He was late 90s, early noughties. He played in the last game at Brockville, Kevin Christie did.
Oh, who was the last game at Brockville? I love Brockville.
Inverness, and we got beat 3-2.
Amazing.
In the last game at Brockville, it was a nightmare.
I remember playing a cup tie there, and it went to penalty kicks. The two goals in the original game were penalty kicks, because I scored one of penalty kicks. And then I went to penalty kicks after extra time, and I think it finished about 12-11 or something.
Did you score your penalty?
Yeah, I always scored, mate.
Did you?
I've only missed probably one penalty. It was against Aberdeen. Theo Snelders, to this day, I don't know how he got to it. What a fantastic save.
So you only missed one penalty in your career?
Yeah, I think so.
Can we BBC verify that, John? Because I think that might be bullshit.
It could be bullshit. but I don't think there'll be any way you'll find out either way.
Oh, there will.
No chance.
Either will.
I missed it. Pittodrie against Aberdeen. I think that was a bit... I think the rest are...
So, like, you're claiming to have as good a penalty record as, like, Matt Letizia or Alan Shearer? I think Matt Letizia only missed one penalty.
Did he?
Yeah.
He was brilliant. So. But Shearer just...
Smashed them.
Yeah,
I think.
I was a placer.
I think he missed one as well.
Mate, I was the worst kicker of a football in the history of the game.
You were the worst kicker of a football.
Yeah, I was terrible.
How?
I couldn't kick the ball far. I'd say, like, say, at the halfway line, we used to do a wee thing after training, and you had hit the bar for the halfway line and stuff like that. I used to use it as a par three, mate. I had to lay up.
Really? Why was that?
I couldn't kick it that far.
Well, just like you technically couldn't do it.
Couldn't he? No. I was shocking. I was absolutely... I literally couldn't kick the ball in the air from the halfway line to the goals. Couldn't.
Right.
I've never had a Beckham.
Daz could be talking serious because we can't verify this because Transfermarkt does not cover Gordon Dalziel's career.
Well, surely there'll be somebody out there, there'll be some sort of historian listening or something like that. There's always people who keep records. Like, I mean, how long were you at Raith Rovers for? 10, 11 years or something like that?
Yeah, about 10 years.
Right, okay.
But well, hold on a minute. I played with more teams than Raith Rovers.
I know, but the majority of your career, like, you know, it'll be easy to find if it was Rangers or stuff like
that. I didn't take penalties at Rangers.
Well, there you go.
I didn't so take penalties at Man City. In so fact, you can rule that out. Hardly played. Was known long enough.
So, historically great penalty takers, according to AI here, Matt Letizia had a 98% conversion rate.
Mm-hmm.
Michel Platini had a 96. He scored 44 out of 45 penalties.
Right,
in his
okay.
career. Marco van Basten, 93%. Alan Shearer, 92%.
So what we're saying is Gordon Dalziel could be in the best penalty takers ever.
You could be up
one.
There with Michel right. Platini. Nah. So like
that just doesn't sound right.
44 out of 45 penalties taken, and you think you're on that level in terms of?
No, I never took 40 odd penalties. I'd be lucky if I took in my career 10 penalties.
But surely you just gave an example there where you had two penalties in the same match, so on the same replay.
Yeah. But I didn't take a lot. We didn't. I wasn't a lot of penalties in my days.
You didn't get penalties in your days.
No, play on.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend. Well, listen. If anyone knows, if anyone is willing to put the hard yards in, because obviously producer John isn't going to do that because he's a lazy bastard. So, if anyone listening wants to do some research on the penalty taking prowess of Gordon Dalziel, then you can let us know in the comments on YouTube. @BigFootballScott as well. Right. Last week. I had a bit of a rant about referees. I'm going to have another one a wee bit later on as well, because the referees are just shite. Like that.
You think so?
I think they're terrible.
Do you not think it's hard?
I'm not saying it's easy.
Hold on. Are you saying what division? Because you obviously go to the Championship where there's no VAR.
All them. They're all
so rotten. You're putting them all in the same.
They're all rotten.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, because, for example, like, obviously, Nick Walsh was in charge of the Celtic Rangers game last week.
Mm-hmm.
Had a nightmare. Stephen McLean was on VAR as well. Do you know another thing as well? Like, John, obviously, League One, League Two for you in the past two seasons. League One, honking referees. I think we can all agree
agreed.
On that. Championship isn't much better. And I think VAR has actually made it worse, because some of the referees now need to sit in a room and do VAR as opposed to being out and actually refereeing matches further down the ladder. And I think that's worse. So we're getting made of the shite now. I mean, Saturday's referee was, oh my God, so bad. For both teams.
Right, like, I was going to ask. Both.
For both teams. Like, I'll get more into it later on, but I would say for about the first 75 minutes of the match, Dunfermline got nothing for this guy. Nothing. Stop, start, constant wee niggly foul. Like, just nae flow at the game whatsoever. And then for the last 15 minutes...
You get everything.
Dunfermline got everything.
Did you get a penalty?
No, we didn't get a penalty, but it was just like every time, every free kick, blown constantly. And St Johnstone were going mental.
That's
and I'd be going mental if I was them as well.
That's frustrating.
There's nae consistency, there's nae sort of thought. They look like people who have never watched football or played football or done anything to do with football.
It was Ross Hardy that was your referee on Saturday, Steve.
He was so bad. He was so bad. But then, Ross Hardy's obviously not one of the top ones, but we had Nick Walsh for the Dunfermline Raith Rovers game a few weeks ago, and he was pish for both teams as well. Like, I just think there's something needs to be done about standard refereeing.
Full-time?
Full-time or... I don't know, they need to rethink VAR as well. What I did like about Saturday is that there was no VAR and it felt like a proper football game.
Yeah, okay. So you watch games with VAR and watch without, obviously.
Yeah.
Would you prefer?
Well, without.
Without.
Absolutely without.
I'm the same.
I would rather have bad decisions. Now, obviously, John will have a different opinion of this, because yet again, Falkirk got a dodgy VAR decision at the weekend. I think that's taken it up to four that you've got this season that you ended up getting points from. I think it was. We'll get to it in VAR WTF. But I think in general, like, you know, the standard of refereeing in Scotland is probably the poorest it's ever been.
Right, okay.
And I think to sort of add a wee bit sort of meat on at the bone there, how many of the Scottish referees get European matches? None of them.
Was Nick Walsh not away in European duty?
Possibly.
There you go then.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's better than none.
Anyway, Didi says, European refs are the ones who make the same mental decisions when Celtic and Rangers play in Europe. There's been a good few howlers against both. Yeah, I mean, but I think VAR has a part to play in that as well. I think the use of VAR is just terrible. Anyway, Kadjur says, professional referees in England that make a lot of big mistakes. I don't even watch English football, but I hear about the mistakes often in Scottish media for some bizarre reason. And if refs really are inherently biased and unable to officiate a game without succumbing to their biases, why would you want to reward them with professional referees' paycheck? Now, I don't think just to clarify, I don't think referees are biased. I don't.
Right, okay.
I genuinely don't think they're biased one way or the other. I just think they're not good at all. I just don't think they're good enough.
Yeah.
They make stupid calls all the time.
I don't think the referees in Scotland would want to go full time.
No, because a lot of them have decent jobs.
Plus the fact they're getting a real wedge for a Premier League game.
Yeah.
And if you do a couple midweek and Saturday.
You're absolutely coining it.
Oh, it's a lot of candy.
Yeah, exactly. So, just to clarify, I don't think referees are biased. I just think they're not very good. And you know what? It's the shite baggery. Like, it's the not wanting to make big calls that get, or making easy calls all the time. You know, if a player goes down and is rolling about, they're more likely to give a free kick, even though they can see quite clearly that it's not a free kick. You know what I mean? Like, I think players are also, like, particularly St Johnstone Saturday. Now, St Johnstone, I think, are a cracking side. And I thought Jason Holt was probably the best player on the pitch. Controlled a lot of the game. But he managed the game in terms of the referee brilliantly. He had him in his pocket.
Seriously?
Yes, absolutely.
I've seen my day. I liked the older days where referees would just tell you to go and piss off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They would have a...
Did you ever sort of like... Was there a referee you're thinking, oh no, it's him the day? Like... Was there any of that, or you're like, oh, good, it's such and such the day? Is on the opposite side?
I'm going to throw a spanner in the works, right? And people out here listening will be going, what? I used to love when Hugh Dallas refereed the games. Thought he was brilliant. The communication, everything. He would run by you, and you know, if you're having a go at him, he'd run by you and just say, listen, shut up, you're having a fucking nightmare, right? Stuff like that. And see that, it took the tension out of the anger that you had. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think the olden days where referees could maybe just come up to you and have a word and crack a joke with you, and everybody thinks he's pointing in your face and he's having a wee laugh with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think it worked brilliantly.
So what you're saying, Daz, is referees should be introduced to banter. We should have banter classes. Perhaps you could run them.
Exactly. Daz's banter referee classes.
Yeah. Referee classes, aye.
I think there's a market out there for that.
Yeah,
I think, look, it's a high tension game now, isn't it? Everybody gets caught up with it, whether it be managers, players, the pace of the game's completely different. I think you need a little bit out there for a personality. I think referees should be allowed to put their personalities out.
Yeah, I agree.
Know what I mean? I think it's too straight down the middle. They try and do everything by the law book, and, you know, they're frightened because they're mic'd up, obviously. They're frightened to say anything. I think in the olden days when you referees had a good go back at you, I think it diffused a lot of the stuff in the pitch.
Andy Taker said this for years, the worst ref in England is probably better than the best ref in Scotland, whoever that actually is. Potentially this is due to the fact majority of them, if not all of them, are professionals rather than part-time referees. Albert 11 Legend says, any chance John can put the Say What You See full screen for us using a phone, having to pause and zoom in? John?
I can do that.
You can do that?
It just means a bit extra work for me, but you know.
Oh, John, poor John. Just tell me, piss off, John. That's what I would do.
Brad C says, I want to hear more conspiracy theories. The battery one was spot on, in my opinion. You have to have more of them. Let me hear them.
What's the conspiracy battery?
So, I think, right?
Oh, is this your...
Aye, yeah. It's low-level conspiracies.
Right, okay. Right?
So, I'll give you an example. It was due to my watch, right? So I got this watch.
I was admiring that.
It's a nice watch, isn't it?
How much was it?
It wasn't that expensive, actually.
It doesn't look that.
No. So anyway, have you ever bought a watch and it's been the right size for you? If it needs links?
It's been the right size?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, with links in it?
Yeah.
Bullshit. Absolute bullshit.
I've got one, my dress watch at home.
Yeah, but did you have to get links taken out of it?
No.
Well, how? Because any time I've bought a watch with links in it, they're sized for people who have wrists like gorillas, right? Because...
So you have to add...
I had to take links out of this. I had to take like 5 links out of this.
Right, okay.
So I think there's a conspiracy between the watch companies and Timpsons, right?
Why Timpsons?
Because that's where you go to get the links taken out of the watch.
Oh, right. I've got my shoes in there getting stretched.
What is that?
I'm glad you just mentioned that. I need to go and pick them up for Mark's wedding Sunday.
You're getting your shoes stretched?
Yeah.
How?
Because I do that every brand new pair of shoes I buy, mate.
Right.
I take them up to Timpson's and I leave them for a couple of days and the guy stretches them for me.
Have you got big feet or wide feet or
no,
like...
I just feel more comfortable. I hate, it's like boots. Remember when you got your new boots and you played, you used to sit in the bath with your boots on, remember the day?
Yeah, and sort of walk about the house and aye, you
would sit in the bath and all that carry on. But I've always been like every pair of shoes, brand new pair of shoes, up into Timpson's, £8, stretch them for me.
How do they stretch them, Daz? Do they go walking about in them or what?
is it the point that you go in and you're like, I'm in my shoes?
The boys out on a Saturday night and they're dancing with my fucking shoes on. They put them into some machine or something, don't they? And they just stretch them. And it makes them more comfortable for...
No, I understand the concept, but it's just I didn't know that Timpson's did that. So do you think that the shoe companies are in tow with Timpson's as well?
Yeah.
To make sure that, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your sort of thing.
Yeah, well, Timpson's is in for a lot here, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, give me the theory in the watch.
Basically, the watch companies are in with Timpson's.
Right.
So that they make watches too big, so you need to go to Timpson's to get the links to it.
To make money,
exactly.
Can I piss on the theory a wee bit, though, Steve?
That's what makes the world go round. Yes, John, you can.
Because I bought a new watch recently, and you know what? They sent with the watch a little tool that you could take the links out yourself.
Now, they sent it to me as well, but I tried it and I couldn't do it. So I was like, this is a job for Timpson.
Right, how much is it then? Do they charge per link or?
No, it was like fiver or tenner or something. Like, right. It wasn't expensive.
But every watch going in there.
Exactly.
Every fiver.
Think of every watch that's bought in the world that... Mm-hmm.
Go to Timpson's
to get your links out, then that all adds up.
I've never, my dress watch, I bought it for a jeweler in London.
Okay, fair enough, right. That's maybe different because if you went in the jewellers, they'd maybe measure it and they'd do it for you, like in the jewellers.
Yeah.
Like if it was a nice fancy
one. Yeah, but I didn't go into the jewellers.
Right, okay.
I bought it through online.
Okay.
I phoned the jewellers and I said, look, this is a watch I'm looking for. I've seen it online, blah, blah, blah. I paid for it and they sent it up. Perfect. No Timpson's for me.
No Timpson's.
Unless I've bought new shoes.
Unless you've got new shoes. Unless you're stretching your shoes. So another one is, you know how they say it's bad luck to open an umbrella in the house, right?
No, I don't buy all that nonsense.
No, but...
Walk under a ladder. Do you walk under a ladder?
Aye, all the time.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But that's what I mean. But see, stuff like that, that is a myth, obviously, right? If you, as you just said, if you open an umbrella in the house, it doesn't matter.
But why would you open an umbrella in the house? Unless so you get a leak.
So you're supposed to open an umbrella in the house because it dries quicker. Because if you wrap it up and it's still wet, then it goes mouldy. And then you have to buy another umbrella.
No, I just leave them back in the car.
But they'll eventually go mouldy if they're wet. And then you need to buy a new umbrella.
Oh.
So that's another conspiracy. The original one that the your man Brad is referring to here is adverts are louder than what the TV programmes are. So when the adverts come on the telly, you have to put the volume down because they're too loud. And that means that you're using your remote more. And that means you're using more batteries. So the advert people are in tow with the battery people. And that's low-level conspiracies.
That's the biggest load of shit, pardon me.
No, I mean, listen, it's a fact. So, listen, any other low-level conspiracies, then please do get in touch on YouTube. Right, in terms of Europe... last week for Scottish teams, only Aberdeen coming out with any credit whatsoever. Drawn in Larnaca, Celtic handily beaten by Mitchelland, and Rangers handily beaten by Roma as well. Another disappointing week in Europe, wasn't it?
That was poor.
Celtic, I thought, you know what? I think watching that Celtic game against Mitchelland, it looked like an old football team or an old football club taking on a new football club.
Yeah.
Because Mitchelland are obviously heavy into their like data analytics and have been for years. They are top of the Europa League, entire league. I just thought, you know, Celtic have got much more resources than Mitchelland, but you wouldn't know that watching the game.
Yeah, spend more money. Of course they do. And everybody will say that Celtic are a far bigger club. But it showed the other night there, if you've got it well organised, well run, you get good players into a system. Celtic were quite lucky to get out there 3-1, weren't they, really? Mm-hmm. First half. I thought second half, they improved. But first half, especially early on, we were sitting watching it, funny enough, in the studio. And I said after 10 minutes to Gordon, and it was Dylan McGeoch who was on me that night, I said, by the way, there's not a chance Celtic are going to keep a clean sheet here. You could just see the goals coming.
Yeah.
And obviously, Michelin ran out comfortable winners. But it was poor. You know, you said they're the only team that come out with a bit of credit, Aberdeen. But are we not expecting Aberdeen to go and beat teams like
that? I did say a wee bit of credit because, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I don't think Larnaca are rubbish. But what did put a wee bit of a, you know, it didn't look great for Aberdeen is that Shamrock Rovers went to AAK Athens and should have won.
Mm-hmm.
And then they only conceded a goal in the 98th minute, a penalty. And obviously the Greek Gordon Dalziel stepped up and slotted it away.
Yeah.
So if Shamrock Rovers can go to Athens and not get pumped 6-0 or whatever it was, I mean, it was 6-0 going on about 12 when Aberdeen went across there. Yes, I mean, I agree. I think that Aberdeen are still miles off it. Rangers Roma was a bit of a non-event, to be honest, because Roma were just much better than Rangers.
Well, Roma, they've got good players and they're a big club.
Aye, exactly.
But I think just because of what's happened before with Rangers, European nights, Ibrox and a Thursday night, usually they produce a performance. And you're thinking to yourself, right, okay, they got a lot of plaudits for the 10 men in the semi-final against Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking, can they go and produce another big result? But at no time did you think Roma were going to lose that game, did you?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Elsewhere, Nacho Novo has been appointed Darvel manager.
Mate, I stay sometimes in Darvel.
Right.
Big news down there, I'll tell you.
But
Darvel, remember Aberdeen?
Yeah, Mick Kennedy, yeah.
They've probably got one of the best dressing rooms in the country.
Aye.
Darvel. Oh, it's stunning. They spent a lot of money. Funny enough, I walk by the pitch now and again. It's a nice wee pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the same place they were under Mick. And
no,
obviously the financial backing and everything's not there.
Well, I don't think Nacho Nova will be doing it for free. So or maybe he will.
No, I don't Nacho, absolutely not chance. But he's got a big job in his hand there. Like, he's always wanted to cut his cord at management, so it's a good opportunity for him.
Jock Brown has stepped down as Hamilton chairman as well, as their problems continue, and probably the most ChatGPT statement I've ever seen in my life as well. They described him as one of the most complete human beings we've ever had a privilege to work alongside.
Complete human beings?
Yeah. Do you think, though, when you leave Super Scoreboard,
I'll be a complete human being?
Do you think that's the statement that you want? You want to be described as one of the most complete human beings that you've ever been?
I think they'll probably go one of the biggest I've ever worked with, probably.
Yeah, but great at taking penalties. Allegedly.
Penalty kick taker.
Right, let's get on to the football of the weekend then. And let's start with Falkirk, I suppose. And you've written here Falkirk 3, Livingston 1 on this sheet of paper here, yeah. John. Wishful thinking on your part, because it was yet another game that Falkirk couldn't beat Livingston in. You were at the game. We'll get onto the yet another dodgy refereeing decision going in Falkirk's favour, but in terms of the game itself, was a draw, a fair result in the end?
To be fair, it was a fair result. We had the first half, Livingston had the second half. Everything changed when big Brian Graham went off. The ball just would not stick up front, and the young lad we've got on loan from Sunderland, Trey Ogunsui, I don't know if it was like the occasion got to him or just... I've never
the occasion of Falkirk versus Livingston.
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying he's shitty selling in front of 3,000 people?
7,500.
That's a bad sign if the occasion of Falkirk versus Livingston got to him.
I don't know, Gordon, you played with Paul Smith, didn't you? So Smudger was like all over this young lad, and I've never heard him go as mental as one player that he did at this young lad.
Is that right?
He was going mental at him. So, but no, nothing stuck up front, and then we took the two wingers off.
See, be fair, John, that is a brilliant crowd, isn't it? Over 7,000.
Exactly.
Just shows you where Falkirk are coming from. They've got the potential to be, you know, well-supported Falkirk. I remember at Brockville, they used to pack it out when we would go there.
I did notice there was a few gaps in that away stand in the Falkirk end. I know you've got, you know, it seems to be wearing off a wee bit.
The North Stand was sold out, so a lot of people just couldn't make it, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, getting bored, isn't it?
Lead up to Christmas, already. John.
Yeah,
in all seriousness, right, and this applies to Livingston fans who are listening as well, like... Obviously, it's great being in the top flight and it's great winning promotion and winning leagues and all the rest of it, but don't you think the Premiership's shite if you're a team like Falkirk?
Why?
No, when you're fifth, no.
But you're not going to be fifth at the end of the season, John. You're going to be down the bottom of the table.
No.
And in Livingston, they're going to be the same.
You don't want to go up as a Dunfermline fan?
See if we could win the league.
And no go up.
And no go up. I'd love that.
Why?
Because we'll win more games.
I know, but surely it's to test yourself against the top teams.
I totally get that. Like, I do understand that. But see, like, I'm talking from a purely fans' point of view as well. If you're having to pay, what was it for the cup final, by the way? For the tickets, I was reading at the weekend, St Mirren Celtic, is it not like 50 quid a ticket or something like that? It's a lot of money. And then it seems to be pretty standard now that it's just 30 quid to get in places in the Premiership. John, you'll know more than me. But, you know,
We charge 25 quid a ticket for a ticket. And Dundee United are actually pretty decent as well. They're only charging 26 quid for away fans for the next game as well. But
that's still not cheap. Kind of, if there's 40 years, like, that's 100 quid. So, like, and then you've got getting up to Dundee, you've got a pint, you've got food. Like, you know, I just think it's so expensive. And saying that, I was at East Fife versus Celtic Hearts earlier on the season, and it was 22 quid to get in.
I fucking died.
I was like, I was there with my mate, and I was like, oh, for the two of us. And they were like, no, each. And I was like, 22 quid?
East Fife
versus Celtic. I nearly went back to the pub.
Mate, I would have been out of there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't pay that.
But this is, I don't know if you saw Davey Martindale on the debate night the other night, and we're talking about this on Super Scoreboard. It's like the cost of everything has just gone up, so that's had a knock-on effect in ticket prices. Because he was saying when he joined Livingston, like the utilities price was like $3,000 or something, and now it's like $30,000.
Yeah.
So that cost has to be passed on somewhere, and unfortunately it's getting passed on to the fans.
Yeah, and it's not like they still are spunking loads of money on players who are shite. Maybe pay them less, and that might sort of affect things. But anyway, we're going down a rabbit hole. So yeah, Falkirk won, Livingston won, and Falkirk's record against Livingston is not very good. But Livingston, only one win out of their 12 matches so far this season. Elsewhere, on Saturday night, Hibs went to St Mirren and won by 3-0.
I called it on the show.
You fancied it?
I fancied Tibbs, yep. St Mirren put so much into semi-final. They were in a real high, I think, a lot of people. I think they missed two big players for St Mirren, mm-hmm. O'Hara and Gogic. They're big players for St Mirren.
Of course, yeah.
They're decent. And O'Hara's a captain, isn't he? Good player in Midley Park.
See, the thing is, Hibs won 3-0, but see if you watch the game, I think that flattered Hibs mm-hmm. a wee bit, to be honest. And also, there was a couple of VAR decisions, which we'll get to, that just went against St Mirren. Now, I think they were the right decisions, but then almost immediately Hibs scored on both occasions. You know, the scoreline could have looked totally different, but in terms of Hibs, that's them up to third now. They just need a wee bit of consistency, Hibs, don't they? Like, because they've not had that so far this
season. But if you look at that league, the teams below Hearts and Celtic just now, they're all like that, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rangers are in a little run, got another win yesterday, but you look at Dundee, you never know what you're getting with Dundee. Kilmarnock just now are in a dreadful place, dreadful. Yep. They can't buy a win. St Mirren, right, cup finalists. They got a lot of plaudits. They're sitting in 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're sitting down, and their next game's at home to Celtic.
Yeah.
And you look at that, but you would imagine they'll kick on because they've got decent players. I was quite impressed with Dundee United at Tynecastle, I've got to say. I thought they played very well. Motherwell are playing some brilliant football.
The Motherwell have scored in every game this season.
Yeah, they're playing great football. Unfortunately, St Mirren deserved to beat them in the semi-final. Mm-hmm. Of that, there's no doubt. And then you've got Falkirk that, I agree, I'm waiting for Falkirk, you know, that bubble to burst. But so far, they are playing brilliantly and they're picking up points early, which is important.
So Falkirk are away to Dundee United in their next match. Then they have, correct me if I'm wrong, John, Rangers away. So a couple of tough fixtures for Falkirk coming up. Right, let's get on to the games yesterday. You mentioned Motherwell there. 1-1 against Aberdeen. Aberdeen sort of, again, just inconsistent. Can't put any decent runs together. Motherwell only had 25 touches in the opposition box on Saturday, which is low for them.
Yeah.
But they have scored in every game this season. It just kind of, just as you're saying there, I think there's lots of teams that are just much a muchness.
Is it 100%? I think it's very hard to call. You know, you look at Celtic and Rangers getting games, everybody right away, their favourites to one of whoever they're playing. But you take them out of the equation, these teams can all beat each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fine margins. And Aberdeen just now, you never know what you're getting with Aberdeen.
Well, see, the thing is, like, Tallinn has shown since the cup final, actually, that he's willing to change things a wee bit. He changed on Thursday night when mm-hmm. they went to Larnaca as well. To be fair, Aberdeen could have won on Thursday night as well. They did have some decent chances. But it's still no happening. It's still no happening. And I think Aberdeen fans are looking at the money that he spent, the players that he's brought in, the number of players that he's brought in, and they're not getting anywhere near the performance levels that they should.
I agree. I think if you're a Aberdeen supporter, you're looking, thinking, we've got a good squad, we've got a big squad, there's some good players there, but they're just not picking up the results.
Yeah.
They've been absolutely poor.
It's as you were in terms of Motherwell and Aberdeen, 6th and 8th for them. Rangers up at Dundee yesterday, and 100% record for Danny Rule in the Premiership so far. A comfortable 3-0 winner, as comfortable a victory as you're willing to see.
Yeah, yeah. And you were just wondering, because everybody was thinking this will be a difficult game, because Dundee beat Celtic there, they went to Ibrox, and they were a bit unfortunate not to get the full 3 points. But it was too easy, wasn't it? You're if a Dundee fan, you're disappointed, never even put up a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rangers, it was too easy for Rangers. They coasted to a 3-0.
In terms of positive signs for Rangers, Mikey Moore looks like he's discovered that he can play football again, which is good.
Yeah, it just looks like he's been given a wee bit of freedom to go and play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're a natural, if you've got natural ability and a manager believes, listen, just go and get on the ball and make things happen, you can see the confidence in the boy, can't you?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that confidence has grown and grown and grown. And you can see the ability that everybody down south was talking about that he's got. Still a bit to come, right? I still believe he's a bit to come. But I think the signs for him is very good. And once again, if you're Dundee, no disrespect, but Raskin for a header.
He is good in the air.
He's brilliant. He's good for in some reason.
He times his runs really well.
Do you think that because he's high, they tend to switch off with him?
But they know by now, surely.
He's absolutely dynamite. It might be down to the fact that you're correct. He times his runs brilliantly, but if you're...
There's sometimes just players like that, though. Like, try to think of an example. Like, Henrik Larsson was amazing in there.
Yeah,
and it was all down to his timing.
But I'm looking at set plays where you're doing your homework before the game, right?
Yeah.
You're working in set plays. You'll know that Raskin's going to make that run. Right, so you've got to have somebody picking him up, but all credit to him, he's been absolutely brilliant. I think he was the Rangers fans' big performances, Raskin,
because of what happened earlier on.
Yeah,
this season.
I think so, and I think a lot of Rangers fans sided with him because they appreciate how good footballer he is. And he's a good football player. There's no doubt. You don't get called up with Belgium if you're not. But when his first game back against Hibs, I thought he was right on it. I thought he was brilliant. Then he's taking a dip for me. I thought in the semi-final and a few games I've watched him, he gets more caught up and wanting to be, you know, angry at people and arguing with people, and he gets caught up on that side. Instead of just saying, do you know what, I'm a good player, I'm going to show everybody I'm a good player. And he got off to a great start of the weekend, Sunday, with a good header. But he is a good player, but he needs to be a good player consistently, because he is one of Rangers' top players.
I heard a caller on Super Scoreboard last week, a Rangers fan, come on and thinking that Rangers will win the title.
It's a long way to win the title.
Now, they've got a game in hand over Hearts.
Yeah.
You know, if they win that, they'd be 9 points behind Hearts, which is not insurmountable over the course of a season.
No,
it's hard because Dundee were really poor yesterday.
Mm.
But Rangers, professional job, got it done, played pretty well. There's a long way to go, though, in terms of challenging for titles with this Rangers team, surely.
Yeah, yeah. I still believe they can get up there and finish second. I'm still sort of wavering on the fact that Celtic will win it.
Yeah,
I really do. January's got to be so interesting. Next couple of weeks has got to be so interesting for Celtic to see, will they have a new man in the dugout?
Yeah.
Or will Martin O'Neill lead the team out for a cup final against St Mirren? What is it, 6 weeks or something? It's not even as far as 6 weeks, is it?
No, it's not the 14th of December or something like that.
Right,
something
okay.
Like that, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they do. And obviously, everybody's still looking at Hearts, and rightly so. I know they dropped a few points at Tynecastle, but I think that was all down to Jim Goodwin, Dundee United. I was very impressed with them. But Hearts have got a real good squad, good players. They'll invest in January. You'd imagine they'll bring in one or two. I think they'll need to get one or two out. They're telling me they've got a squad of about 31 players. It's incredible.
Who's going to buy them though? Who's going to take them?
Yeah, well, and
I mean, there's chat about Chermetti going out on loan.
Already, I know. Yeah. I've heard that. I probably think it'd be a good idea if I'm honest.
You pay £8 million, the most amount of money that Rangers have paid for a player since Tory Andre Flo, yeah, and you punt him out on loan after about 4 months.
I know, but I think for the lad, you can see that. Look, I've been there, right? See, when you go and play with teams the size of Rangers and Celtic, and I'm very fortunate for me, I wasn't worth £8 million, £8 quid. But if you're not playing well, it's a hard place to play. Both clubs, it's a hard, because the demands on you for supporters, and obviously that price tags come in as well, and everybody's looking.
Yeah, it's not his fault that they paid £8 million for him.
100%. So yeah, I think it would be a wee bit of a slap in the face for Rangers. We're going, hold on a minute, you brought a guy in for £8 million, going up to £10 million, and you punt up out on loan. But I think just to get him out, and he might go out there and get a couple of goals and get the confidence going and then come back a better player. I can't see it just now because he's not really showed a lot why Rangers went out and splashed that sort of money on him, right? But I think for the lad's career going forward, because he must be feeling the pressure. He must be feeling the pressure. £8 million, you're playing with a club like Rangers, you're in 1 minute, you're out the next. I think to get him out the building, go and play football, I think would be a good idea for him.
Good point, as you mentioned, for Dundee United at Tynecastle yesterday. Hearts remain, obviously, clear at the top by 7 points with Celtic's victory over Kilmarnock. But Derek McInnes, not happy at the end of the game, saying that there was only 3 minutes additional time added on at the end. If that was Celtic or Rangers, it would be more than that.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Ah, listen, Derek's got his opinion. He's doing a grand job there. They'll be disappointed because they'd been looking...
And they took the lead as well.
Yeah, and they played Dundee the week prior at home, 6 out of 6, they'd be looking. But, unfortunately, I thought Dundee United played well in the day.
And, you know, I'm looking there, 12 games, 30 points, still unbeaten, and they're going to be unbeaten until, you know, at least the end of November. They'd have snapped your entire arm off.
100%. I think if you're a jumbo and you're looking at this team just now, you're looking at situation, you're looking at the way your club's been run, everything about it, you're in a good place.
Now, Beningame wasn't playing, and Derek McInnes also saying that, you know, they missed him. Important player for Hearts, Beningame. I know he's been there for a couple of seasons now, but it feels like this season he's stepped up a wee bit.
Yeah. He's putting in good performances in the middle of the park with Devlin. I think Devlin stepped up as well. I was never a great fan of his, but I'll tell you what, I'm seeing a different side of him. I don't think the result was down to one player missing for the middle of the park. He's got a big squad. He's got good quality to replace him. I think sometimes you've just got to look at the opposition. I thought Jim went there, you know, they went 1-0 down. It'd be easy to fold, especially against a good Hearts side. They kept digging away and they got a deserved equaliser for me. I thought they deserved it.
Dundee United, next two games, winnable, obviously, home to Falkirk and then they're away to Kilmarnock. You know, if they can get 4 or 6 points out of those two matches, they're looking fairly good.
Yeah, right now, I think if you're Dundee United, you're looking at 6 out of 6 for them. Because, let's be honest, you would expect to beat Falkirk at home. I know John will not be happy. I know that, mate.
Well, obviously, you've got to bear in mind all the refereeing decisions that Falkirk get. So you never know what... Probably Dundee United will have 2 players sent off in the first half or something.
And right now, everybody's beating Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
Everybody's been coming. I'll tell you what, I'm really, I don't know if MD will agree with me out here, right? I've been watching it. I'm starting to get annoyed with goalkeepers. Gone are the days when goalkeepers actually save the ball. I would take their gloves off them. I wouldn't give them gloves. There's no point. They don't catch a ball. I want to go to the goalkeepers' coaches and I want to sit down and I want them to explain to me, why does goalkeepers not catch a ball? They don't. Have you noticed it?
No, I spoke at length earlier on this season about how goalkeepers are annoying me.
Do you agree with me?
Yes, I do. Because, like, basically my line was goalkeepers think they're footballers and they're not. They're goalkeepers. There's a difference, right?
Right.
And I think, see, there's so many goalkeepers now who think they can basically start attacks and stuff like that because they see it happening down south or they see it happening in the Champions League and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But actually, that's because the goalkeepers, like, you know, PSG and, you know, Man City and all these teams are very, very good at that. Arsenal and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
When you're playing in the Scottish Championship, don't do that because you can't. Like, you are, like, they want all the trapping.
Do you just play from the back? I've not watched the Pars this year. Did your goalkeeper come in?
We mix it up. Mix it up.
Right.
So sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Right. Here's another one, mm-hmm. right? And it's for people watching on YouTube. This blows my mind.
Yeah.
If the ball is going up into the far corner, right? My left hand side.
Yeah.
Why does a goalkeeper go with that hand?
I don't know.
Why? Right?
I don't know.
Right? Why does he go with his right hand if it's up in the left? Because here's the people. Look. Where is here? It's. I can't believe it. Somebody will need to sit down and they'll need to tell me why goalkeepers go with their right hand.
Is it they think they can, I don't know, they can get that one higher or, I mean, I don't know.
Get it higher.
I don't know. But yes, you are right. I don't know why they do that.
Why don't we get a goalkeeper or goalkeeper coach on next week and we can have a Q&A with them?
Do that, John, because right. I would love to ask them now, where is the knack? Now, I know that they'll probably, some of them will say, well, the ball swears a lot now. I get it. They can kick it a lot harder than obviously what I've done in my day. But there's times when a goalkeeper just catch the ball. You got a big pair of gloves. Just fucking catch it. Right? I just baffles me. Right? Honestly, go and watch goalkeeper. By the way, I'm not going to pick on him, right? And I'm not going to say, there's a goalkeeper in the Premier League that must have went out to his wheelie bin and found a pair of gloves in his wheelie bin and thought, tell you what, I'm going to be a goalkeeper this week, mm-hmm. right? Because he had rank.
In unrelated news, it was Celtic 4, Kilmarnock nil.
mate, what is going on here?
Celtic just blown Kilmarnock away. Kilmarnock are in a bad place just now, but Celtic bouncing back after that European defeat on Thursday night. They needed that, and it keeps the pressure, it keeps the heat on Hearts, another 2 points gained, and they've still got a game in hand as well.
Yeah, and that's why I still think slightly that I'm still going with Celtic to win the league. Do you know something? I'd love to see a club out with, because I think it needs it for our league, a bit of fresh. I love the fact that Hearts are up there. I think it's brilliant. I like the fact that Hibs are getting results and they look a real good squad. I like the Dundee Uniteds and Motherwell and the way Falkirk. I think it's refreshing, right? I would love to see a club really this year, because I'm fed up, unless you're a Celtic or a Rangers fan, basically now Celtic, but you're fed up from an outsider watching the same team win the league year in, year out, right? And to be fair, at the end of the day, they deserve it because they're the best teams. But I would love to see an outsider like a Hearts or a Hibs up there really challenging and putting the pressure right on.
Is Martin O'Neill going to be in charge of Celtic come the end of the season? Because I think it's looking increasingly like
no, that. No.
No chance?
Not a chance. Listen, no bigger fan than me and Martin O'Neill, right? Not a bigger fan.
You're a massive fan of Martin O'Neill.
I think I went up against him in the semi-final, the Scottish Cup.
And how did that go?
They beat us 3-0. Right. We were excellent on the day, right, at Hampden. And Martin O'Neill, when I walked into my dressing room, Martin O'Neill was in my dressing room, right? Shaking hands with every one of my players, telling them how good they were on the night. And, you know, the fact that they should take a lot out of the game, the way they played, everything about it, gave Celtic. They had Larsons and all that.
I want to ask you a question, though. What was your result the following week? Did you get beat?
Can't remember.
We can work that out. John.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. We played Rangers in the cup final on the Sunday.
Yeah.
League cup final. And then we played Celtic in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup on the Saturday. We were at Hampden twice in 6 days. No, seven, six.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Martin O'Neill handled himself and stood outside, had a chat with me, no one of the ones you're just walking away and you're thinking, my God, I can't believe how good that guy is and what he was all about. As I say, he was in the dressing room shaking hands, telling all the players. I'm thinking to myself, I'm in the wrong dressing room here. I'd be better getting in seeing Henrik and the boys.
You should have went in and started shaking. Well done, lads.
Well done, Henrik. That was a good goal. Good movement. Where's that goalkeeping coach?
I need to find the results.
I think they won. I'm looking down at the Air United results. I think they might have won the week after.
I couldn't even tell you who were playing.
I think you played Alwa the week after it does, but I'm just double checking that.
Yeah, I want to, because it's that way where like it would be classic playing so well against
scudded
and then get absolutely scudded. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that could work.
Let me have a wee look here. I think so. The game took place on the 23rd of March, and that means the fall. No, I've got the result here.
I've just found that.
You drew Arbroath 0-0.
Whereabouts?
At home.
Actually, look at that run of results you had then, Daz. You drew with Thistle on the 9th of March. You drew with Arbroath on the 26th. You drew with Clyde on the 30th. And then you drew with St Mirren on the 2nd of April. Five draws in a row.
However, what I would say is, looking at your results here, he's got beat at home for Clyde on the 19th of January 2022. And then you were unbeaten to the end of the season. Didn't lose a game from January to the end of the season.
Yeah, but finished second to a good Hibs side.
Now, what I would say is you only won four of those matches and drew the rest.
I like the first bit, unbeaten.
Yeah, exactly. So, wait a minute, how's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. You went 13 matches unbeaten, but you only won four of them.
Dad, so. You didn't finish the second to Hibs either. You were third. Thistle won the league and Airdrie were second.
Oh, well, it must have been the year before then.
Aye, I'm looking at
here. Hibs went up, yeah, and we were second.
Aye, you were four points behind Airdrie, who folded at the end of the season. Airdrie died, and you still finished behind them. So, there you are. You drew 13 matches the entire season. If you'd won another four...
Don't blame me, blame the strikers.
Aye, true. Anyway, so Martin O'Neill was not going to be in charge himself.
No.
The chat is Knutson, the boy from Bodo Glimt.
Yeah.
He is the favourite. Mm-hmm. He's been bet into about 6-4, I think.
So. Yeah, we're getting a lot of phone calls on the show, and I think a lot of Celtic fans fancy that.
I'm not sure.
You're not sure he'll come?
Yeah, because I think he turned down like Bayer Leverkusen and stuff as well. And, you know, Bayer Leverkusen obviously a very good and well-run club. However, I also, what he's had at Bodo Glimt, because I did a wee bit reading about him,
mm-hmm.
He's had time. He's had time to like build and mould the club into what he wants, basically. And he's not going to be able to do that at Celtic. I'm not sure that's the appointment that I would go for. Now, I don't know who I would go for, but
yeah.
I'm not sure that's it. He's obviously done a brilliant job getting them to the semi-finals and all the rest.
It's a strange one for Celtic, isn't it? You would have about four or five good candidates. I know that Celtic fans would probably, big percentage, would love Postecoglou back.
Yeah,
but he's not going to come back to Scotland, is he?
Also, the other guy that I actually got sent something about him yesterday was about the guy who's in the MLS at Columbus Crew. His name is Wilfred Nancy. Nancy.
Oh, you can't have a Ted Lasso.
No, he's French. He's French, okay. So there was a bit of chat about him. So I don't know. He might be something a wee bit different. I mean, that's the thing. Like before Postecoglou was appointed, everyone was like, "Who's Postecoglou?"
Yeah, there'll be someone out there. I think it'll be someone left field. I think it'll be somebody like a Postecoglou that we might not have heard of. But
they've got 2 weeks. You feel like they need to make an appointment in the next couple of weeks?
No, I don't. Right?
Okay.
I don't, because I think domestically they're now. I think Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney and his backroom staff can well handle domestic football, right? And then obviously it'd be fairy tale stuff, cup final. St Mirren will have something to say, but Celtic will get strong favourites. I think that he buys them time to get the right appointment, but I don't think you can get into January with Martin O'Neill as your manager.
Okay.
Right, because they come in for a lot of criticism in the transfer market in the window in the summer there. Obviously, they were late and
But you want somebody in charge so that they can say, right, I want this, I need this, right. And then you can identify the players that the manager wants.
Well yeah, because a lot of people out there will be sitting thinking, hold on a minute, it's the recruitment side that go and get the players, and it is, it's mostly recruitment, but the manager going forward's got to have the say in who the players are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm happy to bring him in. You can't have the recruitment going and keep Martin O'Neill in the job, and then a new manager comes in the summer, and because Celtic probably will spend in January, won't
they? Yeah, they have to.
Exactly.
They have to, because
exactly.
They're actually looking short. Like, they are looking short.
Well and truly. Well, and a lot of that's down to injuries as well. They've been a bit unlucky with one or two injuries.
I think Johnson's getting a hamstring operation.
Is it?
And so's Osman, the new boy.
Is that an operation?
Yeah.
Well, you're out for months, then, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're big blows, and Jota's been missing as well. And so there's one or two key players for them missing, but they need to spend in January. And I think they'll need to spend January because of the criticism the board come under in the summer.
Right, let's drop down into the Championship then. We'll start on Friday night, 1-1 between Airdrie and Partick Thistle. Airdrie, I thought, played pretty well, to be fair, honest with you. Goalie.
Right, I fell for the boy.
I did feel sorry for him, because it's one of those things. So hopefully he's all right there, Airdrie goalie.
Yeah.
Partick Thistle were poor, though.
I was talking
to Mark at the weekend, and he wasn't happy with the performance. But they've had a cracking start to the season. Listen, 14 games, 28 points, and only three behind St Johnstone, because St Johnstone couldn't capitalise on Saturday because they were at East End Park. 2-2 it finished between Dunfermline and St Johnstone. Genuinely, I'm struggling to remember a game I enjoyed as much.
Did you?
I thought it was a cracking game of football. Both teams going for it. St Johnstone are a really good side, and St Johnstone are going to win the league, right?
You think so?
St Johnstone are going to win the league.
Out of all the teams you've seen?
They are the best team that I've seen so far this season, and they've got really good players. I mentioned Jason Holt a wee bit earlier on, ran the show, thought he was excellent. Sidibe up front, I thought was good. I like Liam Smith, he scored the second goal, good fullback. St Johnstone are going to win the league, right?
Right.
And I think they'll win it pretty comfortably.
Use playoffs material?
I think we'll be in the playoffs.
Okay.
I'm actually just really enjoying watching Dunfermline this season. After years of just shite, not inspiring football. I know, like, we won League One, I had Eddie Falkirk, and that was obviously great, but, you know, we weren't a great side to watch. We were grinding out a lot of victories, which is fine, but I just like this Dunfermline team. I'm really enjoying watching them. Andy Todd up front, he is absolutely fantastic, scored again. He's one of these players that you didn't see for a lot during the match, and then he just pops up and does something.
I like the players.
Pops up and does something brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, he's really direct. Obviously, a wee bit of luck with the deflection for the goal. But I thought we deserved it. I thought we deserved something for the game. It would have been harsh had we not gotten something for the game. And Barney Stewart, John, scoring again, 4-4.
Is that the boy that's in loan for Falkirk?
Yes.
And the best thing about it, he's going to score all these goals for you. You'll get your hopes up, and then we'll take him back in January.
Well, he's only on loan until January. And I think Dunfermline will also be spending in January as well. So, honestly, it was nearly 7,000 there as well. Big crowd down for St Johnstone. So, I thought it was a really good game of football. If you went along to that on Saturday and didn't enjoy it, then football's no for you, because it was just a really good game of football.
Well, there you go. You've hyped up the Championship.
There was chances. The referee was honking for both sides, as I mentioned. Can't be bothered going into that again. He was threatening to ruin the game for both sides, but didn't in the end, and it finished 2-2. I just thought it was a cracking game of football. I loved it. I thought it was great. So, really good day out at East End Park on Saturday. Morton getting only their second win of the season. It was against Arbroath at Capello, and that means Morton are only 4 points off the good playoffs. They've drawn 9 games so far this season, so only a second win is obviously great.
See, to be fair, he talked about referees in the Championship. If you look back at Morton's games, they've had a lot of decisions, dodgy decisions that went against
just
them.
Just bad decisions, and just, as I say, just shitebag refereeing, and I hate shitebag refereeing. Like, if you think that, like, taking the easy way out of every decision, every single time. And also, like, this is everywhere as well. they'd never let games flow. There's no flow to a game because it's just every single contact's a foul.
Yeah.
Player goes down, foul. Player goes down, foul. And then they don't give some of them. And then you're like, well, how's that not a free kick? And how's that, you know, and it just does my tits in. Anyway, good win for Morton against Arbroath. Arbroath, who had been going pretty well, obviously. Still remaining third. They're on 21 points. Dunfermline on 19, just ahead of Ayr United on goal difference, who came from 3-1 down.
Gordon Dale's there.
Aye.
It was a draw.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, it was
good draw for Brownie up there.
3-3, and it's one of those ones that if you're coming back for 3-1 down, it feels like a win.
What's happened to Ross County?
Ross County are 19 points behind St Johnstone, by the way.
Yeah.
And they've spent a fortune.
Their wage bill must be incredible.
You
see their team, and then you see who they've got on the bench, and they've got good players, a big squad, a lot of money invested.
But have they
look at the management team as well.
Have they? I know, totally. Aye,
incredible.
John Robertson's in there, Calum Davidson's in there as well. Yeah. I think Ross County have probably called this all wrong, because St Johnstone, I thought, have signed pretty well. I think, St Johnstone the best team in the league. And you look on paper at Ross County, but are these players that they've signed, are they the sort of players that have got the fight to get out of a championship? I don't think so.
Well, it showed you just now.
Clearly not.
Yeah, clearly not. But you'd be disappointed. I
say the fight to get out of the championship. I mean, they could get out of the championship by going into League One at this rate, because they're sitting in the relegation playoff.
Yeah, but is it one of the ones we keep saying, surely they're too good to go down? But we've said that before, and you know what's happened. But Roy McGregor will be a bit disappointed what's going on, because he's put a big investment into that.
Of course
club.
He is, yeah, he's put a lot of money in.
But it's unfortunate it's not happening.
Queen's Park, 2-1 winners against Raith Rovers. Barry Robson under big pressure now at Starks Park. Loads of people calling for a return of Gordon DL to the dugout there, obviously. But yeah, it's not going well for Raith Rovers. There's a lot of unhappy people. With Barry Robson. I mean, they're sitting in sixth. They're only a point off the good playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of fans fearing that they're going to get sucked into some dross at the bottom. Great win for Queen's Park, though.
They needed that.
And they needed that. That's them out of the relegation playoff as well. They're up to eighth. But yeah, problems at your old club, Gordon.
Yeah, it's not looking too good at all. They're sort of up and down a little bit. You look at that game on Saturday, Queen's Park have come off a 5-0 hammering.
Mm-hmm.
From Partick Thistle the week prior, and you're thinking, right, okay, you go and put a bit of pressure on them, you've got a good win. I think a lot of people would fancy Raith, but as you said, I know what like it is up there. The fans, like everywhere now, you don't get much time as a manager. See, if you get 3-4 defeats, all of a sudden they're wanting you out, they want a change, they want someone else in. It's very tight, as you say. They're still a point off the playoffs, and that's where Raith will probably be aiming, like a lot of clubs, the playoffs, to see if they can get in there and take their chances. Because I do agree with you, as tight with Partick, and Mark's going brilliantly with Partick Thistle, I just feel throughout the season St Johnstone will have enough.
Yeah, I think they'll win the league. Yeah. Raith Rovers, by the way, are at home to Airdrie on Saturday. If they don't win that,
do you think there'll be a
change? I think the pressure will be unbelievable at that point, yeah. So I think big game for Barry Robson this coming weekend. There's only four fixtures. Partick Thistle, Dunfermline is off due to international call-ups. Ayr United are both. Ross County, Morton, and big deal. St Johnstone versus Queen's Park. What are you saying?
Surely Daz could do a Martin O'Neill if Barry Robson was to go and, you know, go in and steady the ship for a few games.
No,
you know?
My days of that are gone, John. I would struggle to go to fourth road.
The goalkeeper's a thing or two.
Oh, aye, the goalkeeper. I'd sack the goalkeeping coach right away. Honestly, the goalkeeping coaches, I wouldn't have a goalkeeping coach.
Watch this space. Who did you play with? Who was your sort of, who was the keeper? Scott Thompson.
I'll tell you, our goalkeeper I played with was brilliant. Hamish McAlpine.
Hamish McAlpine? Yeah.
Hamish was a good goalkeeper. Scott Thompson. I'm trying to think who else. Out there.
Who's the keeper at Rangers?
Jim Stewart.
Okay.
Good goalkeeper, Jim.
He does goalkeeping coaching.
Does he?
Have a word with him. I'm sure he did.
Where does he do that?
Oh, he used to do it. I think he was probably
No, his tired. Boy was at Ibrox, remember?
I think back in the day, Jim Stewart did it as well. I'm sure he was like Scotland.
But that's when they could catch a ball, mate.
Yeah, all right, now it's Pam the ball away. Right, League One. Hamilton back to winning ways. 3-0 win over Peterhead at home on Saturday. And, you know, they're actually only two points off the good playoffs, despite the fact they've been, you know, they've been deducted so many points due to off the field stuff. League leaders Inverness continue to plough away at the top. They are now 3 points clear. They had a points deduction as well, but they were 1-0 winners against Cove Rangers on Saturday. Montrose having a bit of a nightmare now. Stuart Petrie, I think, John, you can double check this, is probably the longest serving manager in the league, or there or thereabouts, maybe.
Yeah, it's certainly in League One.
Certainly in League One, but it's not going well this season. They've actually lost their last five on the spin now, and it was a hammering on Saturday. 4-0 they lost at home to Alloa, who move up to second place. Queen of the South have kicked into gear, and they won 3-0 against East Fife at Palmerston on Saturday, and Kelty Hearts were 2-0 up against Stenhouse Muir, and somehow managed to chuck that, and it was 2-2 it finished at Oakle View. So Stenhouse Muir remain in third place, or drop down into third place I should say, and it is Kelty who are second bottom in the relegation playoff spot in League 2. It was a win for Dumbarton at home to Annan Athletics from Dumbarton, just outside the playoffs now, goalless between Clyde and Stranraer. So Clyde remain in third place, Stranraer are in seventh. East Kilbride back to winning ways after back-to-back defeats against Spartans in the Cup and in the league last week. 2-0 winners against Stirling Albion. Elgin City went to Meadowbank and beat Edinburgh City by 3-1 and 1-1 it finished between Forfar and league leaders Spartans. They are 4 points clear at the top. Edinburgh City remain bottom on just 3 points. Let's get to some refereeing decisions then, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, Falkirk Livingston then, and Stevie May, handball for the penalty in the box.
Are you going against that?
What's he meant to do? He wasn't even looking at the ball.
Ah, catch yourself on.
No,
I'm serious.
If that's a penalty, the game's gone. The game's gone.
That is a stonewall penalty all day.
Oh, isn't it?
Are you seriously?
Yet another decision. Oh, look who it was, VAR, Nick
I'm
Walsh.
Glad I messaged Marv about this, obviously, on Saturday night, Daz, and he said, he tried to say it wasn't a penalty as well. He said that Brian Graham and the boy Dan Finlinson were too close to Stevie May, so he couldn't see the ball coming.
He couldn't see the ball coming?
His arm's out there.
Thank you.
It's out there.
No, it's no.
Mate, the only thing you didn't do was catch
it. The game's gone. Game's gone.
He obviously trained with the goaling coach. He never catched it. He never caught it.
Livingston obviously should have had their own penalty, John. Obviously.
I saw Davey Martindale. Right,
Keelan Adams on shinny.
What
I mean,
a lot of rubbish.
An assault.
Assault.
They didn't even show it on the highlights. Was that innocuous?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it was a penalty. No. I mean, if
did
that,
you see it, Stephen?
John,
no, he didn't.
Did you see
look at his face.
On the highlights.
His face.
John, if that happens anywhere else in the pitch, it's a foul. So,
John, you've got him.
It didn't even make the highlights, so God knows how you've been able to see
yet another fortunate Falkirk performance from the referees. St Mirren Hibs, as we mentioned, St Mirren goals, a couple of them. The Marcus Fraser one was really tight.
It was off, innit?
But he was off.
Yeah.
It was one of those ones that's just like, oh. Annoying if you're St Mirren, but it's the right. Another one was obviously offside as well. Right, nothing much doing. Aberdeen Motherwell, Dundee Rangers, Mikey Moore's goal ruled off for offside. Diamandi was offside in the build up.
Yeah.
Was offside.
Yeah.
Hearts Dundee United, nothing much happening there. Celtic Kilmarnock, Ralston penalty shout when he was driving out of the box.
Never a penalty. Never. He's playing for that all day.
And the foul on Yang for Celtic's penalty.
I'll give that. Okay, yeah, I think that's the right decision, but Ralston, no.
Okay, right, fair enough. Right, there we are. That's our refereeing decisions. Let's do some Who Dares Wins then. And this is where myself and Daz go up against each other. We bid. Right?
Okay.
And
I'm in.
We get a certain topic.
I'm not very good at these, but I'm in.
No, exactly.
Depends what the question is.
So, okay, it's 6-5 against me at this moment in time. Who's it to bid first this week? John, is
think
it me?
It's you actually. Okay. You get to bid first this week. It's a dead easy one this week.
Go.
Cool. How many of the League Two managers can you name? There's 10 managers in League Two. How many of them can you name?
10 managers in League Two. Okay. So you I'll go. Five.
There's no chance you'll name five. Hold on, that's half of them.
Aye.
No, I'm giving you that. Name. I couldn't name six.
You're a shy bag, honestly. You're such a shy bag.
I couldn't name six.
Right, okay. I'll name five then.
Right, you get name five, Stephen. Okay, let's go. Mick
Kennedy.
Yep.
Mick Kennedy. Right. He's come right.
Jim Weir. Is it?
Oh, Trump? Yeah, I got that.
Jim Weir. Correct.
That's the boy who's off his rocker, that Michael McIndoe at Edinburgh City.
Correct.
Stirling Albion, I think, is Alan Mayberry.
Correct.
Oh, I could have got six.
And Clyde's Darren Young.
Correct.
I'm going to try and keep going now.
Dumbarton.
Dumbarton is your man.
Stevie Farrell.
Stevie Farrell, yeah. Spartans is Doogie Samuel, is it not?
Longest serving manager in the SPFL.
Who are we missing? Elgin. Oh, we'll come back to Elgin. Right. Stranraer. Is it Jamie Howell? Oh, I don't know.
Chris Aitken.
Wouldn't have got that.
I could have done six here. Annan is
Willie Gibson.
Yep.
So we're missing East Coast. We're missing Elgin.
Give us a clue, John.
Give us a clue.
A.H.
Alan Hutton.
No.
Ali. Andrew. Andy.
Alan's right.
Alan. Okay, Alan. And what did you say? H. Alan. Heatherston.
Herring.
Alan. Home.
Heel. Heel.
Give me the next letter.
E.
Oh, tell you.
Hand. Alan Hand.
Alan Hand.
No. Alan Harper.
No.
Alan
Hammond.
Alan Hale.
I said Hale about 10 minutes ago.
Right, okay.
I could have got six here.
Mass footballer.
Oh, who was the last one?
Oh, we'll update you. Right, so it's a Scottish midfielder. They have just retired from playing. They have played for more than one Scottish club. They've played in an Edinburgh derby for Hearts, though they haven't won the Scottish Cup. They've got tattoos, and it's not Ryan Stevenson. I can't remember who it was, messaged me, and they wrote down, and they said that.
That's who I was going to say.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
No, I was. That's the only one I could think of, but I don't know if he's...
I can't remember. Somebody either messaged me on Instagram or on... Somebody messaged me somewhere.
Right.
Do you want to just go straight in? Is there anything...
No, we can ask if he played with a certain club, then we'll know.
It's no him.
No?
Because they haven't played with the Old Firm. And he did. He played with Rangers, obviously.
Oh, remember? Is that one of the clues? Right, okay. Yeah. So it's no David Templeton.
No. David Temple. So,
oh, he just retired recently, didn't he?
Yeah, so that's somebody messaging. Somebody also said Jamie McDonald, the goalkeeper, but he's not a midfielder, so that would rule him out.
Yeah.
This is a hard one, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
There's, like I said last week, there's one question which will unlock the whole thing.
What's the question?
I'm not telling.
Come on, don't be a spoiler spot.
At least point us in the right direction.
Nah.
It's all right when you're sitting there with the answer, John, isn't it?
Yeah.
One question that'll unlock it.
Yes.
Right, so what question are we going with this week? We need a big one.
Are they're Scottish, yeah.
Yeah,
we've established that they're Scottish. Yeah. Right, so it's not nationality.
So he's Scottish. He played in the Hibs Hearts derby.
For Hearts,
right, midfield.
Hasn't won the Scottish Cup. No international caps for Scotland.
Yeah, and he doesn't do any retirement media work.
No. Nah. And he's not a manager.
Has he been a manager? Has he been
I've got here, they haven't been a football manager. Is that correct, John?
Yep.
So they've not been a manager. There's another... I mean, this is really obscure. This is...
Who are you going for?
This is really obscure.
If it's him, I'll applaud you.
Yeah.
Go. Well, find out where he played.
If you've got a name, you might as well ask questions, Stephen.
Aye.
Right, okay.
He's got a good name. I don't know if it's the right name, but he's got a good one.
Mass footballer, did you ever play with Dunfermline?
No.
So's a question gone.
It's not Stephen Simmons, then.
Stephen Simmons? Stephen Simmons?
Well, he fits the criteria.
Yeah, that is true.
Is that our questions gone?
Done.
Yeah.
Dusted.
Ah, we'll get another one next
because
week.
He thought it was a Deferman player.
Well, that rules him out. All so right, get okay. in touch. Get in touch on YouTube.
Has mm-hmm. anybody got this?
No. Nobody knows apart from John.
Yeah.
Come on, John. Give us a question that will unlock it.
No.
Come on.
You're such a shy bag, John. right. Remember, you can leave your comments on YouTube at Big Football Scott as
help
well.
The guys out.
Help us out, yes. Let's finish with the quiz then.
Come
shall
on,
we?
Come on. Here and the go. Baby wipes.
Yeah, they're not baby wipes.
Am I going Celtic this week?
Ah, you go
Celtic. Right,
okay. I love it. You sound like a pair of children fighting over who goes the green pen.
I know.
Who's your big team? What game? Do you know what you went for, Stephen?
There'll probably be somebody out there who has clocked. How many times I've had the green pen and how many times I've had the blue pen. There will be somebody out there who's done that. So.
100%.
Right, penalty shootout quiz. Same question, remember, you can get a top bin question that's worth two. You have to ask for it before the question is answered, though. Is asked, I should say. And, I'm well in the lead.
Ah, Kier, so. You're too good at this for me.
Ah, exactly.
I'm shit.
Yeah, you are quite shit at this. So.
Ah, well, I got a good run a couple of weeks ago, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
And I made a mess at the end. Ah, right, John, are the questions easy or hard?
Questions are easy.
Right, okay,
I'm
mate.
Sure they are. They're really easy if you know the answer. Right, first question on the picture quiz. Who is Rangers' current number nine?
Who wears number nine
for Rangers?
Aye. You written something down, Stephen?
No. I've no got a clue.
Ha 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 ha.
Daz knows it.
No, I don't. I know it's. I know one. It's no because he's double number nine.
Aye,
Danilo is yes, number 99.
You've given away a clear. Right, okay, get some down.
Right,
okay, Daz, what you written down?
I've gone for a Chirmiti.
Stephen, what do you write down?
I've gone for Chirmiti.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I was one up there.
I thought you were one up there.
Which SPFL club is second in alphabetical order?
Is second?
Yeah. And it's the whole of the
SPFL. You're looking at the teams.
Whole of the SPFL, not just the Premiership.
Oh, hold on then.
Are you cheating, Daz? You will get you a bit of paper. It's not cheating, I guess.
I'm sticking with that. I don't think it is that. Hold on. Hold on, I need to look at my table.
Time is up.
Yeah, I think I've got it.
Stephen Mill, what have you written down?
Well, wait a minute now. What are you going for?
I'm going Celtic.
A partial is saved!
Who are you at?
Celtic!
Ah!
What have you went for, Stephen?
Alloa!
A partial is saved!
Oh!
Yes!
What becomes.
Abroth!
No! That's after Alloa!
Yes!
Airdrieonians!
How's it Airdrie?
What do you mean, how's it Airdrie? What do you mean, how is it Airdrie?
Hold on, give us that question again.
Right, Stephen. Do you get why it's Airdrie?
Yes, of course I get why it's Airdrie.
Becomes before L in the alphabet, yes. Right,
an alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Aye.
In the SPFL. Aberdeen, obviously. AB.
Aye.
AI
is the next one.
Surely Arbroath. AB.
Arbroath. AR.
Arbroath.
AR. Yeah, you're good.
Oh, John, cut that. Cut that out.
No.
Cut that out.
Abroth.
Oh, God.
Right, okay, it's everyone's favourite part of the quiz. It's a say what you see it, and yes, I'll put up the picture big so you can see it on your phones this week. So you'll see a picture on your screen. It is the clue to a player currently playing in the Scottish Premiership. I'll give you that clue.
Okay.
And if you get it, you get it. Yeah. Are you ready for...
Arbroath.
Are you ready for this week's say?
By the way, from now on, it will only Arbroath will only be known as Arbroath.
Arbroath. Arbroath.
Right, he's ready for the say what you see.
Go.
Here we go.
Arbroath. Wet? What is that supposed to be?
Stephen has got something written down.
You got that, Stephen?
And I actually think, looking at his writing, he might have the right answer.
I've got it. So,
is it the second name?
No, it's both of them.
Both names.
So what we're looking at here is a Simpsons character.
I don't know who that is. Simpsons. I don't watch Simpsons.
Do you not watch
Simpsons? No.
You've never seen
the Simpsons? I've never seen the Simpsons in my life.
You've never seen the Simpsons?
I have never seen the Simpsons in my life. So I am...
I mean, if you've never seen the Simpsons, you're going to struggle with that.
Yeah. That's how... Hold on.
Right, try and work...
Are they a guy, Homer?
No, that's not Homer. That's not Homer.
Who's that then?
How many people called Homer play in the Scottish Premiership?
Does he play with a bro? I've no idea.
So that guy
is it Scottish Premiership?
Yeah, that guy is called Mo. He's called Mo.
Right.
And then so
who have you got down, Stephen?
It's Mo Salah.
It's Mo Salah.
Yeah. I would not got that.
There you go.
That's shit, John.
More from the Simpsons.
But you can't put cartoons on that I don't watch.
I'm guessing this is a windowsill.
Yeah, that's a windowsill, yeah. And then you've got an
actual That is absolutely top class shit.
I can't believe you've never seen
The Simpsons in my life.
I find that staggering.
It's a cartoon. Why would I watch a cartoon?
It's for everyone.
It's iconic.
Simpsons is, I mean, it's shite now. Like, but back in the day, Simpsons was great.
When did it first hit the airwaves?
90s.
Oh, like 89, 90. Yeah.
I was getting married. I was out partying, getting birds. Dad didn't watch Simpsons.
Those two things may contradict each other, to be honest with you. I was getting married. I was out getting birds.
And I was doing a bit of bath.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how the marriage didn't last
long. Well, yeah, exactly.
Right, that's shit.
Well, I tell you what,
I'll need a top bin here.
John, mm-hmm. Make sure that you send Gordon home with a couple of Simpsons episodes to watch, and you can come back and review it for next week.
So he's called Mo.
He's Mo. He's the bartender, yeah. And Mo's.
If I don't watch it, I'll never get it. John, you can't put up shit like that, mate.
Right, okay.
Not on a Monday.
No more Simpsons characters on a Monday.
No, you can't.
Right, okay. Daz, it's 2-1 at the moment for Stephen. Do you want to go top bin? Just want to go for a normal question?
I'll go normal and then
go
top
normal.
Bin.
Right, okay, here we go then. Your next question. How many different teams have topped League One this season? How many different teams have topped League One this season? More than any other division.
Is it?
Aye.
Are you looking at the thing?
No. I'm not. I think I've got the wrong number if he's saying that. Oh, no. Right, got it.
You've got it.
I think so, yeah.
Got it. Right, okay.
Right, okay. Right, Stephen. What have you got written down?
I have gone for 5.
You've got 5, Daz, what are you going for?
4.
One of these is right.
It's me.
It's Stephen Mill.
I changed it for 45 at the end there. So
hold on, right.
Who we got then? Inverness.
Inverness.
Stenhouse Muir were
top. I haven't topped it.
Stenhouse Muir.
Stenhouse Muir.
Hamilton.
Inverness. Hamilton. Peterhead in the first round match day one topped it. And Queen of the South have topped it.
Nah, Queen of the South never been top of the league, mate. That's rubbish.
Right, you're going to have to go for your top bin.
I'm going top bin.
Going top bin.
But will you give me mine first, or how's it? What's the score? I don't even know what the score is.
It's currently 3-1. So you basically, if you get your if Daz gets it,
right. So Daz just gets his top bin question here, yeah. And then
is it a hard one, John?
You have to take it.
Is it any David Simpsons?
No, it's not David Simpsons. No, you're all right. Right.
Spell
okay.
A broth.
Right. Your question. Your top bin question. You need this to draw here, Daz, and it goes down to the final question. How many of the current Scotland squad play in England?
Play in England?
Yeah, so you're going to have to work out the whole squad and then work out who plays in England.
You've absolutely no chance of getting this.
I have.
Not a chance. It will be a wild stab in the dark if you do get it.
Nah, shut up. I'm counting. How long have I got in this?
About 5 seconds.
No, you can't. You give him about 10, minutes last time.
Write some down.
Tell me the answer before I show it.
Right. Okay. The answer I've got written down here. We've got Aaron Hickey.
Yep.
Andy Robertson.
Yeah.
Ross McCrory.
Oh. I sort of forgot him.
John McGinn.
Oh, aye.
Kenny McQueen.
Aye.
Ben Gannon-Doak.
Oh, God. Stop the new.
Ryan Christie. George Hurst. And Lyndon Dykes. So the total is 9. What have you written down, Daz?
8.
Oh!
Have you actually?
No. Oh, there you go.
No. And Marshall has saved! Yes!
Was it McCrory you missed out there?
That was. Forgot about him.
Or did you just
write down a number?
I counted. See with stuff like that, I count and then I'm like, I'm probably missing a couple, so I just add a couple on usually. That's what I do.
Well, if I'd have done that, I'd have got 9.
Yeah, you should have done that.
Right, do you want to check? There you go, Stephen.
Yeah.
What was your last question?
What was the last question?
Aye, what was my question there? Never give me a question. Right, I don't need it, but...
Yeah. Doubler quits.
Who is the oldest manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Martin O'Neill.
A caretaker manager.
That's not what the question was.
No, exactly. So who's the oldest manager?
Oldest permanent manager, John?
I'd written down the oldest manager, so I would have accepted Martin O'Neill.
Well, you would have to accept Martin O'Neill because he's the oldest manager in the league. That would have been a correct answer for me there.
That would have been a correct answer.
Because he's 73 year old.
Yeah.
Who's the second, though? That's a good question.
Who's the second oldest?
Hold on. It must be McInnes will be up there, won't
he? Yeah, McInnes will be, mid 50s, something like that. And then, don't know.
Not McInnes.
No.
Well, wait a minute. Let me look at the league. It's not David Gray. Oh, it's John McGlynn.
It's John McGlynn. Yes.
Of course it is.
Of course, Falkirk.
Well, there you go.
Right, I'm away to watch The Simpsons.
Yeah, watch The Simpsons, and then we'll get back to you next week. So there's a few good episodes. In fact, there's a lot of good episodes.
You could recommend a Simpsons episode for Daz to start in the comments below.
Yeah, recommend a Simpsons episode or two or three.
You can put in you want. I watching in Simpsons.
But you'll find it funny. It's good. It's funny.
Simpsons.
You think it's a cartoon for kids, but it's no. It's a cartoon for everyone.
Is it?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to watch one episode of
Right, okay, well, let us know what episode of The Simpsons Daz needs to watch, and then he'll come up on the show next week, a full review. I want a full review of the characters and all the rest of the plot line, story, everything. We'll get to that next week. Oh, and Scotland are playing next week, so we might know if we're going to the World Cup by then or not. Maybe not. We'll find out. We'll see you next Monday for me and Daz. See you later.
Cheers.